Mr. Terry, would you begin by giving us just a little background of how you came to work for Time?
I was a reporter for the Washington Post from 1960 to 1963. Right after my coverage of the March on Washington, I was approached by editors of Time magazine, as well as representatives from the networks, all of whom were interested in hiring a black reporter for the very first time. I chose the offer from Time magazine because it would make me the first black correspondent working for a news magazine, as well as the first black correspondent working in Washington for the mainstream media. So it was an important event for black people to make this kind of breakthrough on the color line. I was becoming a Washington correspondent, the first of among black people to represent the mainstream media.
Right.
It also meant that I would have a chance to cover national news and a shot eventually at being a foreign correspondent. And none of this had really happened for black reporters. And in that day and time, you could count on both hands the number of black reporters working for the mainstream media.
Well, there was a significant black press, and I guess that's where most of the black reporters were.
Absolutely. But I started my career at the Washington Post, and that happened because I was a reporter at Brown University working for the school newspaper when Governor Faubus of Arkansas came to Newport, Rhode Island for an historic meeting with President Eisenhower in the fall of 1957. At that time, the federal courts had ordered the integration of a high school in Little Rock called Central High School, and 9 black children had been selected to be the first of their race as enrollees. There was a lot of tension in Little Rock, and it was generally believed that the safety of those children was in jeopardy unless the governor promised to follow the federal court orders. He would not make that declaration, and he was summoned to meet Eisenhower in Newport. So he flew into Newport, and there was a big press conference, and all the national press was there, and so was I. I was just a 19-year-old kid at the time. But after the national press left, I put on a waiter's jacket and slipped upstairs, took off the jacket when I got on Governor Faubus's floor, and because I was able to get through the state police lines that were protecting him, and I knocked on the door. The door was opened by Brooks Johnson, a congressman from Arkansas, who was considered a moderate and pretty decent sort. In the black community, however, Orville Faubus was seen as the devil incarnate. He was like the Antichrist because at that moment, he was a symbol against integration. So Congressman Hayes asked me who I was, and I said, I'm Wallace Terry, and I'm here representing the College Press of the United States, and I would like to have an interview with Governor Faubus. I was doing all this as on the spur of the moment because I had not prepared any questions. If the governor came out and offered me an interview, I would have been hugely embarrassed. Well, he shut the door, and then a few minutes went by, and the door opened again, and out stepped Governor Faubus, and he extended his hand, and there was nothing else for me to do but to shake it. My grandmother raised me to be a gentleman, and you respect authority figures. Well, there was a photographer for the Associated Press who got wind of what was happening, and by that time, he had made his way to that point, and he took a picture of the two of us shaking hands. Next day, it was on the front page of the New York Times. It was the entire front section of the New York Daily News. It's a picture that went around the world. And when the editors of the Washington Post, who up to that time had only hired one black in their history, and he had not lasted very long, saw that picture, they called me up and asked me would I like to be a copy boy at the Washington Post. Well, I was feeling pretty important at that moment, and I had spent all of 6 weeks as a junior reporter at the Indianapolis News, mostly carrying coffee to Mr. Pulliam, who was Dan Quayle's uncle. And so I said, I don't think I'd be interested in being a copy boy. Thank you very much, but I'm a reporter. I've been a reporter for the Indianapolis News for some time now. And they said, okay, we'll hire you as a reporter starting next summer. And that gave me my big start. But that also led to an opportunity to become the first black editor of an Ivy League newspaper, and I got that appointment in January.
That's a wonderful story.